Boker Tov, you're here. I kilat shiftei Yisrael in Ranana on Zoom, studying Masechet Shabbat, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. This is the beginning of a new parak, of the sixth parak of Masechet Shabbat. Masechet Shabbat has many, many prakim, but we're moving through. We're already past the third of the Masechet, and we are making headway. So this is very exciting. And it's important to understand the chronology of these prakim. The last parak was bima behima yotza. How does an animal? What can an animal be carrying or wearing when it goes out into the public thoroughfare on Shabbat? And this is bima isha yotzei. How can a woman go out? Now, why this particular order? Why do we speak about animals before speaking about women, or about this parak is also about men and children? And so there are a few different explanations. Number one is that Masechet Shabbat is organized according from the beginning to the end of Shabbat. So we've already spoken about things that you have to do before Mincha and Shabbat. Again, we've spoken about the Chayat. Can a tailor, for example, go out with his needle? And what things do you need to do to prepare before Shabbat so that you don't violate Shabbat itself? And usually when it comes to an animal, you prepare the animal's saddle, or this is something that you prepare before Shabbat. Whereas a woman going out, that's on Shabbat itself. So it's later chronologically within the experience of Shabbat. Another explanation is that the last parak actually related to inisur d'rabbanan, excuse me, a Torah violation. Remember, there are two reasons why, two different mitzvot that related to animals resting on Shabbat. One of them was a mitzvah to say, lema'an yanuach, you have to let your animal rest. And the second one is, even your animal cannot do work. And this is the reason that we had to be careful that an animal is not carrying a masa, a burden, on Shabbat. Only something that was needed for the animal, for warmth perhaps, but not a masa, not a burden. So in our parak has to do with an isur d'rabbanan. Okay, why is this an isur d'rabbanan? We're going to be talking about carrying on Shabbat. A person is not allowed to carry an object. I have my, I don't know whatever you call this, but my little exercise that I do here. Okay, let's say I want to carry this into the public thoroughfare. Okay, are you allowed to carry this? No, you're not allowed to carry this. There are two different violations. There's hotza'ah and ha'avara. Hotza'ah means to take something from a private domain to a public domain. Ha'avara means to carry something for amot in the public domain. Okay, that is the difference between ha'avara and hotza'ah. They are both isurei d'oraita. But here we're talking about that there are certain things that you cannot even put on lest you take them off and then end up carrying them. So this is a gzeirad d'rabbanan. This is a rabbinic safeguard to prevent you from violating any isur d'oraita. So this parak then is about isurei d'rabbanan, whereas the previous parak was about isurei d'oraita, Torah violations. A third explanation for why the previous parak precedes this one is because in terms of creation itself, we know that animals were created on the sixth day, but before human beings. And so we have the Masechet Shabbat models the Sefer, the Seder of Briat HaOlam. Okay, so let's jump right in. And before, just one more introductory note, I want to just talk for a second about, when we talk about the Reshut HaRabim, carrying in the Reshut HaRabim. What are the criteria that you have to have? What is a Reshut HaRabim? What exactly is that? And what is a Reshut HaYachid? We dealt with this extensively in the beginning of the Masechet with the first parak, which has to do with Hotza'ah. But I want to just add, just to summarize and add a few things. Okay, so, and I'm going to open up a file here so we could just see a quick review of this. This is very practical and very important that everybody has this information down. Okay. One second. So let me pull it up. Ah, there we go. Okay, how do we define a Reshut HaRabim? Okay. One second, Reshut HaRabim as defined by Torah law. Good. This is what I wanted. Okay, I'm going to share this on the screen, and we could do a quick review of this halacha. This is Pinei Halacha, Rabbi Eliezer Melamed. So let's see what the criteria are. Now we're going to see that the most controversial criteria is actually going to have huge consequences for whether something is a Reshut HaRabim or not a Reshut HaRabim. Okay. Now the so there are four different domains on Shabbat. There's a Reshut HaYachid, a private domain, a Reshut HaRabim. Those are in the Torah, and then we have two different other types, which is called a Karmelit and a Makom Ptor. So the most pressing practical question when dealing with issues of Ozan Shabbat is whether streets in cities and towns are considered a Reshut HaRabim or Karmelit. Now, a Reshut HaRabim is a Torah domain, a Torah-based domain of public thoroughfare. A Karmelit is only rabbinic, it's rabbinically prohibited to carry there. So you're violating Torah law if you carry a Reshut HaRabim, but in a Karmelit, only in Isur Drabanan. If streets today are considered a Reshut HaRabim, then it is very difficult to do what is necessary to transform them into Reshut HaYachid. But the key point is that you can only build an Eruv on an area that is not a Reshut HaRabim d'oraita. If something is a Reshut HaRabim d'oraita, you cannot build an Eruv there. So we have to figure out, in Rehov Yehuda Levi, right here, Rehov Bilu, Achuza, are these Karmelites, in which case we can build a Eruv around it, or are these considered Reshut HaRabim d'oraita, in which case you cannot build an Eruv and you will never be able to carry in these areas. If streets that are considered Reshut HaRabim, then it is very difficult to do what is necessary to transform into Reshut HaYachid. This transformation involves surrounding the entire city with a fence, installing doors in every entranceway, and ensuring that they are all closed at night. Barring this, it would be prohibited to carry in our cities and towns. That's a real Eruv. A real Eruv is a wall. Okay, we have an Eruv of Tzurot HaPetach, which are like, it's Ke'ilu doorways, okay, that you have string on different poles throughout the city. They're Ke'ilu doorways, and that's our Eruv, but it's sort of like a wall. In contrast, if streets today are defined as a Karmelit, only rabbinically are they treated as Reshut HaRabim, then it is relatively easy to transform them into Reshut HaYachid, where carrying would be permitted. When we build an Eruv, we make a domain into a private domain. So Ranana's Eruv makes Ranana into a private domain, so I can carry from my house into the street. This transformation involves surrounding the city with a Tzura Tapeta Halachic doorway by erecting poles and extending strings between them to form a servidory between every pole. Let us preface our discussion by recalling that the provisions of Shabbat are derived from the types of labor performed for the Mishkan. I don't want to go through this. When the Torah commands us to refrain from Melacha on Shabbat, it means refraining from Mishkan work in which the Jews were involved in the desert. If so, then the definition of Reshut HaRabim should also be derived from Israelites' desert existence. Since the main thoroughfare in Israelite camp was 16 amot wide, that's about 7.3 meters, about 25 feet or so, in order to enable the passage of the two wagons that transported the different parts of the Mishkan. We saw this in Masachet Shabbat around Daf Mem, where it spoke about the fact that the 39 laws of the Melachot are derived from the Mishkan. It follows that only a street equally wide is deemed a Reshut HaRabim. However, Rishonim disagree whether in order to qualify an area as a Reshut HaRabim, there's also a minimum required for the number of people who make use of the street. This is the key point. Some maintain that any street or marketplace that is open to the public and is 16 amot wide is considered a Reshut HaRabim by Torah law. It makes no difference how many people pass through each day. According to this opinion, the Eruvim that we construct nowadays, namely the type known as Tzura HaPetach, are ineffective because our cities have streets wider than 16 amot. Furthermore, according to this position, as long as the city has streets that are 16 amot wide, a Tzura HaPetach is not effective for the smaller streets either. So you can't build an Eruv anywhere because there's at least one main street that's 16 amot wide. The existence of a Reshut HaRabim within an area encompassed by a Tzura HaPetach invalidates it. This is the opinion of Rambam, Rabbeinu Tam, Ramban, Rashba, and many others. Others maintain that since the camp of the Israelites in the desert consisted of 600,000 men, all of whom needed to walk to the Mishkan in order to help build it, and to hear the Torah taught by our teacher Moshe, the Kohanim Levim, it follows that a Reshut HaRabim is defined as a road or marketplace that is at least 16 amot wide and through which 600,000 people pass daily. Can anybody think of a city where 600,000 people pass daily? I don't know. Does Times Square count for this? Yerushalayim doesn't.
Of course. One of the biggest issues, I can only speak throughout the greater New York area, was Flatbush, when the whole thing with the Flatbush Eruv, and then Rabbi Feinstein said it was okay, but he himself would never use it, and I don't think anybody really uses it. It's a very huge problem in Manhattan, throughout all of Manhattan.
Correct. Yerushalayim only has 600,000 residents. There's no way 600,000 are crossing through a particular street in one day. This is the opinion of Bahag. If fewer people traverse it daily, it is considered a Karmelit. This is the opinion of Bahag, Rashi, Smag, Rosh, and many others. Within this position, there is an additional debate. Some maintain that an area still qualifies as a reshevim, even if it's not used by 600,000 daily, but only frequently or even just occasionally. Let's say on New Year's Eve in New York City. For in the desert, not all men travel on the path of the Mishkan every day. In practice, only in megacities such as New York City and Mexico City are there streets traversed by 600,000 people every day. Even most big cities do not have that many people passing through daily, as according to this opinion, most streets are not considered a Reshut Arabim, but rather a Carmelite. Therefore, carrying the Aron Shabbat can be permitted with an Erev of the Torah Petach Taif. According to this opinion, today the streets considered a Reshut Arabim by Torah law are mainly intercity highways. Since these roads are meant to serve everybody and their use is not limited to people of the one city alone, they are considered Reshut Arabim even if fewer than 600,000 people pass through each day. So basically, intercity highways can create a real problem for putting a Reshut Arabim, putting an Erev around the city. Okay, so that's a little bit about Reshut Arabim and its practice today. Let's
Rabbi. In London, this Rabbi Kimke could actually give you chapter and verse on this. This is one of the biggest issues when they set up the Erev between Hendon and Golders Green. And there's a road called the 406, which the whole machloket was whether or not it was Reshut Arabim.
Well, how many is it? 406 a major highway?
That's a major arterial road around London. And eventually they decided that it wasn't.
On what basis?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm gonna look into it.
It's a real machloket between whether or not the Eruv was effective between these two major suburbs.
Interesting. Okay, so yeah. Let's jump in. What can a woman wear going out to the street, and what is she not allowed to wear? Many say that, hey, listen, this also applies to men, just that women generally wear jewelry or certain accessories that men don't wear, and these might be more problematic. So it's generally more problematic for women. But this applies both to men and to women. Rabbeinu Tam says that this is dafka for, this really is to speaking about women because it's talking about tachshitim, and it's also talking about things that people might want to show to someone else. You're wearing a necklace. You say, oh, look at my beautiful necklace. You take it off. Men don't care as much about these types of things. So this only applies to women, according to Rabbeinu Tam. A woman may not go out with certain strings or ropes that she ties made out of wool, made out of flax, that she ties her hair. Okay, these are different things that she used to do up her hair each day. Now, she also may not go to the mikveh with these things in her hair until she loosens them. Okay, so now we're jumping onto a different topic, different than Hilchot Shabbat. What does mikveh have to do with Shabbat? Let's look at the first Rashi, b'mai isha yotza'a. What's the reason a woman can't go out with these strings or bands in her hair? Rashi says, dehedei tachshit velo masui. This is a considered jewelry, okay, velo masui. Tachshit meaning it's something that's worn. It's okay to go out with something that's worn. It's not just a burden. A burden would be prohibited. V'ika dehedei tachshit v'gazur be'rabanan. But there are certain tachshitim that the rabbis decreed that she may not go out with. Dilma shalfa umachva lechaverta chashivuto. Perhaps she'll want to show her friend, oh, look at this beautiful necklace that I have, and she takes it off. Look at this earring that I have and takes it off. Look at my ring, and she takes it off. Look at these things in my hair, and she takes it off to show them. Vidilma atila tuye dalan amot. And then she'll end up walking for amot in the Reshut Arabim and violate a Torah law. So this is a gzera, a decree safeguarding a woman from violating a Torah law. So, second sentence then, loti bobehen ajit her face. She has to loosen them in order to go to the mikvah. There's a concept called chatzitza. When a woman goes to the mikvah, she needs to make sure that she has no barriers, no appendages to her body that serve as a barrier to the water touching her skin. Okay, just to be fully immersed in the mikvah. So you have to loosen certain things. This is why women. There's a preparation, a chafifa. It takes a long time, shifa, so that there's no chatzitza in a woman's body. Velo b'tutefet, velo b'sarvitim, bizman she'inam tfurim. These are certain devices, I'll show you, I have pictures here in my Gemara, okay, of a totefet and a sarvitim. Okay, these are, you can see here in this picture, okay, look at Siur Aleph, it's that one over there. That's the totefet, and that number, the second one is the sarvitim. So this is like a how shall we say? It's a, what are these things called? They're a headband that women would put around their kisui rosh. Okay, so she's not allowed to go out with these things when is man she'inam tifurin, when they're not tafur, when they're not tied to their hair covering.
If they excuse me, Rabbi? Tied,
no concern that a woman would take it off. Yes, Rashi.
Yeah. So weren't those headbands, weren't they used to like keep the kisui rosh on? I mean, doesn't it serve a purpose, or was it to adorn it? I mean, there is a difference, no?
If it was on the woman's head, not attached to the kisui rosh, then she cannot wear it. If it's attached to the kisui rosh, we're not concerned she'll take it off because she's not going to want to show all of her hair. Okay, so that's the that's the difference. Look at Rashi. Bizman she'einam tefurim im hashvacha shekorin shkufa aval tefurin lekalamecha shlach veishin anotela tashvacha merushav yushadrim shetigalek kol sara. Woman's not going to show all of her hair. So again, if it's there to serve the purpose of keeping her kisui rosh on and covering her hair, she could wear it. If it's just there as a nice headband, she may not wear it in the Rishut Harabim. Okay? And the third thing is velo kavul, velo be kavul, the Rishut Harabim, also not a kavul. Okay? And also not a kavul, the Rishut Harabim. A kavul will be explained, mifaresh, bigmara, will be explained. I'm fairly certain this picture, though, that we have here, that's the third picture here, is the kavul, so you could see it. Okay, yafe, good. Next statement, the lo be'ir shel zahav. Okay, you may not go out with a city of gold. What is that referring to? The lo be'katla, the lo be'nizamim. And not with a katla, and not with nizamim. Okay, so what is a city of gold? City of gold, Rashi explains, is referring to material that she would wear around her neck that had the city of Yerushalayim on it. It's very beautiful, okay? So you can see a picture of it here. This appears to be a picture of it, of this Ir Shel Zahav. Is Dalad over here, is the Ir Shel Zahav. Okay, and the next thing, the Katla, is that middle picture, okay?
So which Rabbi Akiva gave to his wife, isn't that that?
It's possible. I don't remember. It's possible. Okay, so one may not go out with these things, and not with a nose ring. Okay, so this seems like it was standard practice to wear a nose ring back in the day. The only concern is about Hilchot Shabbat. Okay, so, and also you may not go out with a tabat. A tabat is a ring that does not have a chotam. A chotam is a signet on it. If it has a signet, you may go out with it, but if it does not, then it is considered something for noise, something for beauty, and we're concerned that you might take it off, okay? Velo b'machat she'ina nikuva. One may not go out with a machat. A machat is a needle or a pin that is not nikuva, that does not have a hole in it. V'im yatzat en chayevat chatat. Okay, and if she goes out, okay, well, we'll talk about that second. There are 2 points here. First of all, if she goes out, let's say she goes out with, what is that referring to? That's referring, Rashi tells us, the kulhu tachshitim ninhu. This is referring to all of the objects listed in the Mishnah. If she does violate and go out with these things, she has not violated the chatat. What does it mean, a chatat? Chatat is a korban that you bring when you violate a Torah law inadvertently. So if she went out inadvertently, she does not need to bring a korban. If she did it intentionally, b'mezid, in theory, she would have to be, get stoned. But the point is that this is only a gzerad dimidrabanan, and therefore she would not have to bring a chatat if she violated this inadvertently. That's what that's referring to in a chayav b'chatat. Now, there's one more piece here, and that is...
Ravita, question?
Yeah, sure.
The signet.
Yeah.
How come that's not considered muktzah?
It's a good question why it's not considered muksa. I understand, it's a fair point. I understand why you wouldn't take it off because it's not a jewelry, right? But
why is it muksa
to begin with? Why would you be able to be wear it to begin with? Yeah, Joey?
Why would it be muksa in the first place?
Because it is no isur. You're using it to make an imprint or a picture, which could be prohibited.
Right? Oh, signet ring. Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, maybe it's like a, maybe use it for a stamp of sorts.
Okay.
You know, so you could imagine it would be problematic. The Gemara will talk about this in further detail. So another few. Okay. So we will have to ask that question when the time comes. Now, one more point here about domains on Shabbat. And this is something related to Masechet Erevin, which is the next Masechet after Masechet Shabbat. Besides for the public thoroughfare, Rishut HaRabim, there's also something called an Eruv Chatzer. An Eruv Chatzer is an Eruv that you make within your own little courtyard. The way Talmudic cities were built is that you would have a number of houses surrounding a Chatzer, a courtyard. And everybody would share the courtyard together, and that's where the kids would play, and that's where you put your things. And are you allowed to carry something from your house to the chatzer? Now, according to Torah law, yes, there's a fence around the chatzer. It's a reshut hayachid. However, there is a concern that once you bring something from your house to the chatzer, you might then forget and bring something from the chatzer to the reshut harabim, because the chatzer would open to the reshut harabim. And therefore, we are machmir, we have a stringency to build an Eruv Chatzerot. An Eruv Chatzerot means that all the people in the Chatzer decide they're going to gather, they put together a little plate of food, and they say, okay, this plate of food belongs to all of us, and it's either we're going to put it in this home or in this space, and it's either that the whole space is ours, okay? And that's how you make the Chatzer into you could carry in the Chatzer as well. Now, this Mishnah, Rashi tells us, that not only are we concerned about a woman bringing something out to the Rishut HaRabim, but also Aval Lechatzer, Rashi says, Aval Lechatzer Shari. Okay, 1 second. Etta, can you come take Talia? My daughter wanted to come in and learn. I don't have anything wrong with women learning Gemara. She needs to be changed. So.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
Say again, Leah?
That's good to hear.
Yeah, of course. So, okay. So what were we saying here? That the, look at Rashi, l'rshut harabim, aval l'chatzer shari. Okay, you're allowed to carry out to the chatzer. The kolon is going to mal asurim af l'chatzer shema tagidam l'rshut harabim. So it's interesting that you're allowed to carry you're not allowed to carry any of these things to the chatzer, except for there is one thing, the kavul, which we'll talk about in more detail. What the kavul is, the kavul you are allowed to wear to the chatzer, okay? And we'll talk about why that is. It's about finding a balance. If you don't let women wear jewelry at all. So, it might affect Shalom Bayit. A woman wants to look beautiful. The husband wants his wife to look beautiful. So there's this balance of not wearing certain types of jewelry, but allowing certain types of jewelry. And that's where the kavul comes in. So let's jump to the Gemara. Gemara, tivila, mandikar shemei. So the Gemara says, wait a second. We were talking about Hilchot Shabbat, what you can carry and not carry into the Rishut HaRabim. How do we start talking about tivila? But when women go to the mikveh, how does that have to do with Masechet Shabbat? So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Rav Abba Matam Kamar. These two things are connected because one sentence explains the previous one. Matam lo teitze isha lo b'chut teitzem or lo b'chut teivisham mipnei. What's the reason woman cannot go out with certain things in her hair, the b'chut teitzem, the strings of wool, of flax, mipnei she'amu chachamim b'chol lo tibo ben ad sheter ha'feis v'keim ad b'chol lo tibo ben ad sheter ha'feis b'shabbat lo teitze dilma. What's the concern? The concern is as follows, that a woman, you're allowed to, when it comes to these things in a woman's hair, in order to go to the mikvah on a Thursday night, on a Wednesday night, she needs to loosen these things. Okay? So in theory, she can go to the mikvah with them as long as they're not bound tightly to her hair. Now, on Friday night, women also go to the mikvah. Friday night, women could also go to the mikvah. They prepare themselves before Shabbat, but they can go to the mikvah on a Friday night. And if they're going to the mikvah on a Friday night, they also might need to loosen these things from their hair or take them out for that matter. What's going to happen? A woman's going to be walking to the mikvah on Friday night. She says, oh, I need to loosen my hair piece. And she's going to loosen the hair piece and then take the piece in her hand and carry it. So the reason why you're not allowed to wear these things in your hair is because of tefillah, because of having to go to the mikvah on a Friday night. That's the reason that women can't carry these things generally on Shabbat. Now, you can say, wait a second, this is a very broad-based decree that we should say shouldn't apply in many other cases. First of all, what if a woman is not walking to the mikvah? What if a woman is a zikena and she is she's misuleket damim? She doesn't go to the mikvah anymore. What if a woman precedes the age of going to the, a girl that precedes the age of going to the mikvah? Does she need to be concerned about this? What about a man who doesn't have to go to the mikvah? Men go to the mikvah as a minhag sometimes. Chassidim go to the mikvah sometimes. Dafkan Shabbat. Others, there's a minhag, of course, to go before Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. If a person goes up to Har HaBayit, then men have to go to the mikvah. You know, meikar hadin. If you go up to Har HaBayit, you have to be 100% tahor. So then men need to go to the mikvah and be concerned about all these chatzitzot. But when men go to the mikvah, it's not in Cleveland or any other place. That's just a minhag. That's not a, you know, you don't need to follow any of the laws of mikvahot, of chatzitza. That's just a minhag. So that's the reason that women are not allowed to carry these things, because there might be a case where women are going, you know, when they have to go to the mikveh and they'll carry birshut harabim. Okay, next question. By me name Rav Kahana. May Rav. Rav Kahana asks Rav the following question. Tichi chalilta, mai. What about tichi chalilta? What is tichi chalilta? Tichi chalilta is something that's woven, that has a lot of space. It's not a material that's fully, Rashi says sharshirot shel chutin chalulot ve'agulot. It's sometimes you have a I'm just trying to think of what a my grandmother Alea Shalom, Grandma Minnie, she actually just had her hasgara last night on Zoom with the whole family. She made me a blanket out of different colors. And they're like circles in it. They're like, they're circles. It's not fully, there are a lot of holes in it. So meaning if someone were wearing this, going to the mikvah, it would, there would be space for water to get in between. So that's the question. Tichi chalilta mai. So can you wear a tichi chalilta? Because there's no concern with a chatitza going to the mikvah. So is that a problem? Amar le, he said, arig ka'amart kol shu arig lo gazer. He says, are you talking about something that's arig? Oreg is one of the 39 melachot on Shabbat. Okay, Oreg means to something that's sewn together. It's saying, no, it's not a problem, or woven together. So it's not a problem. Okay, so a woman can wear this, again, because there's no mikvah problem. If manami, we also learn, Amar Rav Huna, Bereid Rav Yoshua. Rav Huna, in the name of Rav Yoshua, also says, pause if you want to stay, you have to be quiet, okay? So Amar Rav Yehuna Breder of Yeshua. We also have a teaching in the name of Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua. Kol Shu Arig Lo Gazru. Arig is we don't we're not gozer on this. Women are allowed to carry that on Shabbat. V'ikadamri, another version of this same teaching. Amar Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua. Rav Huna says the name of Yeshua. Chazina la'achvati delo kamdan alayhu. So he says, I saw my sisters when they went to the mikvah, that they were not makpid about this, meaning they went to the mikvah with something that was arug, something that was that was woven, that had holes in it, like tichi chalilta. Now, first of all, let's just pause for a second. How did Rav Huna Breda Yeshua know how his sisters went to the mikvah? Okay, that's like it's one thing that just, I don't know, worth asking. How he knew this. So the truth is, we have to understand that when it came to going to the mikvah, they were more public about mikvah immersion back in the time of the Gemara. Why? Because a woman who was nida, there wasn't just like an issue of whether she's a chatzitza when she's in the water, but when you were nida, you could also contract or give off tumah, the tumah. Okay, so you had to know everything that a woman touched. It was significant, because the woman is a nida, if she's menstruating and she touches something, she might impart tumah to that object. So you needed to know about these things. It was much more public information. And also, women, the 7 days of, we call them the Shiva Nikiyim, the 7 days that women are counting, of Nikiyut, in order to go to the mikvah, women used to wear fully white clothing. You would know that a woman, what stage she was in her menstrual cycle, based on this. So again, these things were a little bit more public back in the day. So the Gemara asks, Ma'ika ben Hachlishna u ben Hachlishna. What is the difference between these two versions of Rav Huna, Breda, Rav Yehoshua? One version says that anything by definition that's Arik, we don't make a Gzerah with regards to Shabbat. The other version of Rav Huna, Rav Yehoshua says that it's about Hakbada, or that his sisters weren't Makpid. They didn't care. They weren't concerned about going to the mikvah with these things. So, Ma'ika ben Hachlishna halach mishna, Ika ben Ayu ditinifan. The difference between them, the nafkamina between them, is ditinifan. Let's explain this. Tinifan, tinofet, is something that's dirty. If the orig, the thing that is the orig, gets dirty. So if you have this woven piece of clothing that gets dirty, lahachlish the amrat kol shuhu arig lo gazru haninami arug. According to the opinion that says that arug, that the rabbis didn't make the gzeirah by arug when it comes to the mikvah, and by extension by the laws of carrying on Shabbat, so there's no problem. There's no problem with it whether it's dirty or not dirty. It's a across the board gzeirah that was made, and it's not prohibited. According to the lashon, the version of this teaching, that it was because of kpeda. Kpeda is that we're makpid about something being a chatitza. You don't want something dirty against your body. And a woman might be concerned if she's wearing something woven, and that woven garment is dirty. That dirt will get into her hair. That dirt will get onto her body when she's in the mikvah. So she's going to be makpid about this. Kevan, that's tenifan, makpid kepada alayhu. She is going to be makpid about it, and therefore it is going to be prohibited. So that's the difference between the first and the second language of Rav Huna, the Rav Yehoshua. Nan hatam. We learn in the Mishnah there, the elu chotetzin be'adam. These are the things that are chotzeitz, that create a chatitza for a person. Chutetzamar, v'chutei pishtan, v'haritzuot shebiroshei habanot. Okay, these three things, we saw these earlier in our Mishnah, that you may not carry them on Shabbat or wear them on Shabbat. These things also create a chatzitza with regards to the mikvah. Mipnei shamayim ba'in bahem. Rav Huna Yehuda omer shel tzemer v'shel se'ar ein chotzin mipnei shamayim ba'in aleihem. Whereas Rav Yehuda says, he has a different opinion than the Tanakhama. So the first opinion, the Tanakhama says that tzemer, pishtan, and ritzuot on a woman's head are chotzeitz. Rav Yehuda says shel tzemer v'shel se'ar ein chotzeitzim mipnei shamayim ba'in aleihem. Now, what do we see here? We see a difference here. It has to do with also pishtan. It would appear that pishtan, something made out of pishtan, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that that creates a chatitza. Amar Rav Huna, v'kulan b'roshei habanot shanidu. Rav Huna says, all these things that we're talking about dafka when it's on the woman's hair. Okay, that's when it is considered a chatitza. So Matkiv Rav Yosef argues on Rav Huna and says, l'mu'utimai, when you say that it's dafka on the woman's head, what is that coming to exclude? What is that, where is that, what's the exclusion here? So, if you want to say, if the woman has these things, around her neck, okay, it's fine. She's reading the sfarim, it's okay. She's reading the sfarim. As long as she deals with them gently, it's fine. If we're talking about materials that are put around a woman's neck, and what is it that we're talking about? Ilema lim utei tzemer hashtarach al gabe kasher chotzeitz rach al gabe rach mibaya. So Rav Yosef basically says as follows. This is his question that he has against Rav Yehuda, against Rav Huna. Excuse me. He says as follows. If we're saying hashtar kasher al gabe kasher. If you have kasher in this case is, look at Rashi. Hashta kasher. Tzemer kori rach legabei pishtan ulegabei se'ar. So tzemer, wool, is considered soft. Pishtan is considered hard. One second, gentlemen and ladies. Okay. Okay, we had two more intruders to the Beit Midrash. Apologies about that. Okay, so where were we? So Rav Yosef was saying that our previous assumption, okay, before Rav Huna basically said that all of these are referring to the Roshei Banot, okay, all of the specifically referring to heads, that these are considered chatzitzot by a woman's head. So Matkeder Rav Yosef, what is this coming to exclude? If this is coming to exclude, you know, things put around a woman's head, around the tzavar, udmai, and what chutim are we talking about? If we're coming to exclude semer, you say, wait a second, hashta, okay, semer, which is rach, semer is soft, agabe hakashe, around the head, okay, of a person, which is considered kache, that creates a chatitza. Harach agabe rach mebaya. If you're telling me that semer, wool, on a woman's head creates a chatzitza, which is soft against hard, all the more so, I mean, it's going to be harach agabe harach mibaya. Do you need to tell me that something soft is something that's, semer, that's on the neck, that's going to be chotzeitz? Of course it's going to be chotzeitz, because it's going to connect. If wool around the person's head, you can imagine it sort of bounces off the head. It doesn't bound, it's not bound to it. Whereas your skin around your neck is much easier for the wool to surround it, to stay attached to. So you don't need to tell us that that's going to be a chatitza. That's obvious. It's muvan me'elav. So what is it coming to? It must be that we're coming to exclude chute pishtan. Okay? That when they are around the neck, they're not chotzeitz. So we also hashta kasheh. This is also problematic. Hashta kasheh. If you're telling me that pishtan, that is, you know, which is kasheh around the head, which is kasheh chotzeitz, kasheh gabei rach mibayet. Do you need to tell me that these things around the neck are going to be chotzeitz? Of course they're going to be chotzeitz. Meaning, why do you need to tell us that these things are going to be chotzeitz if we're talking about the neck? All the more so around the neck, you should be more concerned about a chatzitza, because you could tie something, you know, more tightly around it. Elam Rav Yosef, what's the reason? Hayinu tamid Rav Huna. This is the reason for Rav Huna. When Rav Huna says that it's coming to exclude all the strings around the neck, what is this referring to? The fi she'ein ishach choneket that that's ma. No, woman's not going to tie something tightly around her neck. She'll tie something tightly around her head, but not around her neck. And therefore, Rav Huna is coming to teach us is that this is only around the head. These are chatzitzot around the head. But if any of these materials, strings of flax or wool, were tied around the neck, that would not be a chatzitza, because because people don't tie that so tight. Okay, three more lines and we're done for today. Etevei Abaye says, "Havanot yotzot b'chutin shavos nehen." Women can girls can go out with chutin around their ears. Okay, we're not concerned that they'll take it off in the Reshut HaRabim. We're also not concerned from a tefillah standpoint. Aval lo b'chavakim, but they may not go out with ritzuot shebet zavareihem. They may not go out with the ritzuot strings around their neck. Okay, so they're allowed to go on their ears, but not their neck. If the iamart eini shachonek adat ma chavakim shebet zavareihem, amalai lo. But if you're saying that women don't, you know, sort of strangle themselves when they tie things around their neck, so then why can't they go out with these things around their neck, just like they can around their ears? So Amaravina, hacha bekatla skinan di isha choneket that's mad nichale lashitir ekibalat basa. I love this line. This is an amazing line in the Gemara. She says hacha bekatla skinan. We're talking about a katla, okay? A katla was a certain beggar that was bound around a woman's neck. And the isha choneket that's mad. A woman would have to tie it very tightly around her neck. Why? She wants to be seen as being filled with fat. Okay, yes, she wants to show off her fat. Why would she want to show off her fat? Because fat is attractive. Fat signifies wealth. Fat signifies that you have a lot of food to eat. Okay, so that's why women would have to do that. We live in a very different world today, in which this is not considered, you know, there's more than enough food to go around. So there's, you know, even though certain people or models might look like they're, you know, I don't know, that they need some food, that we don't consider that to be we're not concerned about their, that they don't have food to eat. Okay. It's by choice that they are not need eating. Okay. So this is the line of the Gemara, and that's uniquely by Katla, because of the women wanted to show their, their meatiness. Okay, that's the that seems to be what the Gemara is suggesting. Ba'alat basar. So we're going to stop here. Yisra koach to everybody. Great learning with you. We continue be'ezrat Hashem tomorrow with Nun Zayin Amud Bet. And for those who want to stay on, in 5 minutes, we're going to have 7 minutes of chizuk here on the same Zoom. So I'm not going to turn off the Zoom. I'm just going to mute myself and stop my video, and I'll see you in 5 minutes. Kol Tov, everybody. Yisra koach. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So, Boker Tov. Good morning. I've seen some of you already just a few minutes ago. So it's okay. Let's do our 7 minutes of chizuk here. 1 second. Let me just put on the.